In Florida, we have a place for you. Not only do we understand your aspirations, we're ready for them. For all the amazing things your future holds, we hold the key. Florida, the future is here.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hi, this is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. So a new report in the Journal tells the story of how Facebook dismantled a once popular anonymous discussion board only for employees last year, apparently due to some lively political debates that sometimes degenerated into racist or sexist comments. The discussion board, Facebook Anon, shut down last December, but more details are emerging in the present. Let's get more of those details. Joining us now is the Wall Street Journal's Deepa Seetharaman, patching in from San Francisco. Hi, Deepa.
Hey, how's it going?
Great, thanks. So initially, what was the original purpose of FB Anon? How did this come about?
So it was created as a side project. A group of Facebook employees created it just as a forum to talk about things that you couldn't talk about publicly or with your name attached to it. So, you know, it was a lot of conversations about compensation. There were some conversations about things like mental health. At 1 year, somebody shared a spreadsheet that included a detailed spreadsheet of compensation across the company based on, you know, employee input that caused a little firestorm over the differences in what technical and non-technical people were being paid. So, you know, and you know, people complained about lunch. I mean, it was one of these forums that was not particularly focused on a topic, and it represented just a broad range of things that people at the company wanted to talk about. And then that kind of changed.
And let's talk about that, because it was last December when it officially shut down. But prior to that, I understand politics kind of made their way into the whole discussion.
Yeah, like everywhere else in the country, it was impossible for politics in 2016 not to intrude on almost every aspect of life. And so this was true within this forum as well. There were a lot of conversations about Trump. It became a place where people who backed Trump at Facebook felt like they could express their views without retribution. And make some sense if you think about how liberal of an organization Facebook is. It's pretty tolerant of a lot of views, but Trump was a particularly polarizing figure within the company. There were a lot of heated debates over topics like diversity. A couple different sources of mine described a conversation of a debate that happened just before the election about women at Facebook, female engineers, and whether their code was up to snuff. This is actually a story I wrote before, and I think you and I have talked about, which is an engineer did an analysis of code review that showed that women's code was rejected more often at Facebook than male code. I should say that's a study that Facebook ultimately rejected, but conversations about that analysis were happening across the company, including in this forum. And that sparked a lot of outrage, a lot of angry comments, and, you know, people were furious. And so it became a place for these types of discussions. And it at some points tipped into what employees and what Facebook executives viewed as harassment. So December 2016, the whole thing was shut down.
It's interesting how it all kind of comes together, because this story in particular, it opens up the broader issue in Silicon Valley with Google firing an engineer for suggesting that men are better suited for tech jobs. Employees at Uber certainly have had these claims of the same. Do you see this as a sort of a cultural problem Silicon Valley is having?
Sure. I mean, Silicon Valley companies, they take a lot of pride in having cultures where people can ask anything and talk about anything. So that kind of flat structure is something that all these companies tout and like and cultivate. But there is another side to it as these companies get larger and more diverse, both ethnically and gender-wise, and also ideologically, you wind up having a lot of views. Broad range of views can be a good thing, but how do you handle it when somebody's views are considered offensive by another group of employees? It's tricky. There's, you know, you don't have full free speech at any of these companies. I mean, it's not a public school. It's not a government forum. Still a private company that can temper what people say in the workplace. But it's an interesting tension because these companies love and do successfully, I should add, to have these big, vibrant open debates about all sorts of issues.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do when somebody brings up a view that a lot of people within the company find repugnant? It's difficult. You get socially shamed sometimes. And I think in this particularly politically charged environment, it is even more fraught. You know, that's not to say that dissenting opinions aren't allowed at these companies by any means, but there is a growing fear and a growing tension around, you know, being conservative and being pro-Trump in the tech industry that hasn't quite been resolved.
We're speaking to The Wall Street Journal's Deepa Seetharaman. You're listening to The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
We know you well, you who became a multimillionaire at 43 and you who was born one. We know you who loses sleep over how your kids will deal with inheriting a fortune, and you no longer getting a paycheck but not needing one either. And also you who doesn't have to work but can't help not to, you serial entrepreneur you. At BNY Mellon Wealth Management, we know because we know you well, and that gives us the necessary insight to help you grow, protect, and transfer your wealth. BNY Mellon is the corporate brand of the Bank of New York Mellon Corporation and its subsidiaries.
Thanks for joining us. It's an interesting look at another one of the struggles Facebook is having culturally, aside from the fake news controversy. And, you know, we talk about Mark Zuckerberg's vision on this podcast a lot, and it seems to fall in line with his grander vision about being as culturally conscientious as possible and the mission to cultivate diversity.
Yeah. I mean, I think he wants to build a platform where all views can be shared and represented and discussed within reason. I think that's an important element, too. I don't think that...
Right. There's a fine line.
There is a fine line. And he's talked about this. Facebook wants to encourage as much speech as possible, but that also means that there are certain types of speech that have the effect of chilling speech. You know, where if you get enough harassing comments, it forces people to shut up and stay quiet, and, you know, it suppresses speech. So that's kind of the line for Facebook as a public platform. Like, how do you create content rules that encourage debate and conversation and don't punish minority views, but also make it so that all views can be represented, and it isn't just a lot of loud, angry people hurling insults and threats at others? Because in the latter scenario, you know, a lot of people will shut up. You don't get that vibrancy and that diversity of views. So this is a challenge that Facebook has on sort of the platform side and how it tailors its content rules. It's being reflected a little bit on the inside too.
Yeah, so it really opens up the conversation. So I'm glad we could explore that a little bit. Deepa, thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, thank you.
For the latest on all things Facebook, you can follow Deepa's coverage at WSJ.com. That'll do it for this edition of the Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.